Good morning and welcome to worship. As we begin our worship, I want to take just a personal moment and express our gratitude to all of those of you who have served in our military. No matter your branch, we are grateful for your sacrifice. Because of you and all of your brothers and sisters who served with you, we're able to celebrate our God, worship our God however we want to, in complete freedom. We're not worried this morning about the army coming in and arresting us or somebody being turned in later by a spy in our congregation. We have the freedom to worship because men and women who served our country in the military were willing to pay freedom's cost. We do not take your sacrifice lightly, and we gather in worship grateful for those of us who have made such freedom possible. Thank you. Have you ever been in a conversation where somebody would say something like, hey, if you have to ask, don't bother? The implication is if you don't have enough money on you to just walk up to the salesperson and say, I want that and wrap it up, then you don't have enough money to buy it. It's an expensive car sometimes and it'll pull by and you go, ooh, I wonder how much that cost. And your friend will say, and if you have to ask, you'll see a really nice house and you'll step back and go, oh, wow. I wonder what it would cost to live here. And your friend will shrug and say, well, brother, if you have to ask. Have you ever asked that question about love? Have you ever been in a conversation about love and the question of cost come up? Has anybody ever said, if you have to ask? If you have to ask how much love cost, don't bother. This seems to be what John is saying to the early church in his first letter to them. Stand now in honor of God's word as we read this passage together. You'll find it in 1 John chapter 3. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's deeds were righteous. Do not be surprised then, brothers and sisters, when the world hates you. We know that we've passed from life to death because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we've come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all these things. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive whatever we ask from him because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. Now, this is his command, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commands remains in him, and he in him. And that way, we know that he remains in us from the Spirit that he has given us. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let's pray together. As you love us, may we love each other so that in loving each other, the world can see your love. And we pray this in your name. Amen. I've told you this before, John says. Now I'm going to tell you again. You have heard it before. We have told you about this before, that you should love one another. So Why am I telling you again? I mean, all three of John's letters are nothing more than a handful of pages. The first letter is the longest, but it's only a handful of chapters. Here's my point. If John is going to say anything, because the letter is so short, because real estate in that letter is so expensive, so precious, he's not going to waste his time telling us something that he's already told us before, unless he's telling us because we're not doing it. I've told you this before, he says. You know the commandment from God. This is the commandment from God, he says, that we should love one another. We should love our brothers and sisters. How do you know that you love Jesus? How do you know Jesus loves you? Because you love the brothers and sisters. I've told you this before. Now I'm going to tell you again. Why? The same reason a parent tells a child again. Because the child isn't doing it yet. So, I'm going to remind you again, one of the most important commandments we have is to love each other. The rest of the chapter, John is telling us that he really expects us to do this, that Jesus is serious about it, and we should be serious about it. But before we get there, I want to talk about this story that he says, that he talks about with Cain, because it shoots a myth that we have about God. A lot of us are Christians. Now, we have been following Christ a long time. Maybe we haven't matured in every way as we should have, but we are a Christ follower. And you know, sometimes we will see someone who will do well. Somebody gets a recognition. Somebody is successful. Somebody makes it in the big time, whatever that is. And you and I will be jealous. We will be jealous of their success. Not only that, but we will wish harm for them. You know, we don't want them to die, but you know, if there was a little pain involved, then that would be fine with us. Like Cain, we see our brother's success and we get angry. Why? Because we have believed the world's teachings of limitations. And that is, there's only so much pie to go around. If God blesses you, then there's less blessings for me. If you get up before I do and you pray early in the morning, then I may get there a little later in the day and God say, I wish you would come here earlier. But the people who came at 6 got all of the blessings for the day. Let me help you understand something. God never gives somebody else your blessing. What is intended for you is intended for you. My blessing isn't your blessing. In fact, some of the things I pray for, you don't even want. God loves us individually, uniquely. We are who we are in Him, and we're not like anybody else. So when we pray as we are, and God responds to us as we are, and He blesses us in what is best for us. So when you see a brother, when you see a sister succeed, when you see that God is blessing with them, celebrate. It doesn't take one blessing away from you. Not one. Cain saw what Abel was doing. And instead of stepping up his own game, he tried to destroy Abel. So in that moment when you see somebody who is doing really well and obviously being blessed by God, celebrate with them and use that as an encouragement to step up your own game. They're not getting your blessing. Now, John says we should love each other. We should love our brothers and we should love our sisters. Now, do you have family? Yeah, I know. You're thinking, wow, that is not the picture that you would have used when you're talking about following Christ. Families are complicated. That's a good word, complicated. There are brothers and sisters we don't even like, much less love. But that's John's point. You do not have a choice. I've told you this story before. I remember when my father took me to the hospital to see my baby brother for the first time. I remember my father picking me up and holding me and showing me a nursery full of babies. I bet there were 20 or 30 babies in that big room. I remember my dad pointing to one of those babies and saying, "That's your brother." I thought I was going to get to choose. I didn't. We took my brother home, and you know what? He never left. In fact, anytime he showed up, we had to open the door and let him in. Why? Because he's family. He's my brother. Why? Because he has the same father I do. He's my brother because the father said so. She's your sister because the father said so. Now, John goes to great lengths to define love. We're not talking about a deep emotional experience. We're not talking about feeling all gooey inside, no. Here's how we know love, John says. Jesus laid down his life for us. You want to know what love looks like, John says? It looks like the cross. Jesus was willing and able to bear all of our darkness so that we could live in the light. In the same way, a husband bears the burden for his wife. A wife bears the burden for her husband. Parents bear the burden for their children. Friends bear burdens for each other. We carry that load so that the other one can have a better chance of success. If you have something and you see your brother or sister needs it, then you give it to them. Why? Why? Why was it that easy? A couple of reasons. One, it's not yours. It belongs to the Father. The Father has given you something so that you could take care of your brother and sister. If you love them, then you will take care of them. There's another reason. It's a test. It's a test. God is going to entrust you with resources. Then he's going to put you in a situation where a brother or sister is in need. Do you understand the heart of the one who gave you those resources? Or do you trust the gift more than you trust the giver? That's what happens, John says, when your life is lined up with Christ. Did you see that at the end? We know that we love Jesus and Jesus loves us. Why? Because our prayers are answered. Now, a lot of people have read that and go, hey, that now becomes a magical formula. If I pray in the name of Jesus, no matter what I pray, if I just put in the name of Jesus after it, then Jesus is going to answer my prayer. How many times have you prayed that over an algebra exam? Lord, please help me get through this test in Jesus' name. How did you do on that test? Well, it depends on how well you studied. Here's what you find out. Praying in the name of Jesus means praying in the will of Jesus, which means speaking the heart of Jesus. It means wanting the same things Jesus wants. When your life is totally aligned with his, then the grace and mercy, the power of God, flows into your life and through your life and into the world without hesitation, without any kind of blockage or slowing down. You become the fountain of grace, the fountain of mercy, the source of power, as God's love flows through you. As you align your life with Christ, there's nothing that stops that flow. There's nothing that slows it down. So when you pray, you are increasing that alignment and increasing the speed of love, increasing the speed of grace. Your prayers are answered. Why? Because they're the same prayers as Jesus. Everybody always comes to me. It's the most frequently asked question that I get, really. How do I know if I'm a Christian? We'll talk. We'll hear their story. And I say, you know, I joined the church when I was a little boy, a little girl. I remember the feeling. I remember getting baptized. How do I know if I'm a Christian? John says, you know you are a Christian because you love brothers and sisters in the church. You know you love Jesus because you love his family, you love his body, the congregation, the church. You love them. You're willing to lay down your life for them. You're willing to give them anything you have that they need. You love them. That's how you know. Now, how can that work? See, what we hear when we hear that is, okay, Mike, I hear you. I'm going to leave today. I'm going to walk out of this sanctuary, and I'm going to go into the world, and I'm going to love my friends. I'm going to love my coworkers and our neighbors if it kills us all. You make it something you do, not something you are. Let me tell you, people are too nasty. People are too wicked. People are too disappointing. People are too rotten for you to love in your own strength for very long. Now, you know this. You know this. You've all had New Year's resolutions that you're going to be nicer to people, right? How long did that last? Till you got on the interstate. And then someone cut you off and you blew your whole resolution and you weren't even to January 2nd. Okay? You know that. I know that. We cannot do it in our own strength. But when you know how much Christ loves you, when you know what he's done for you and what he's paid for you and the freedom you have in him, then I'm free to love you. And I don't need you to love me back. I'm free to love you. Why? Because Christ gives me so much love. I've got to do something with it. I go to this fountain that flows from the throne of God, and this fountain fills my life. You cannot hold the ocean in a thimble, and this flow keeps hitting my life and overflowing out of my life. That overflow is how you love each other. And honestly, there is so much love coming from Jesus Christ to me, to all of us who believe. We have to love each other. We have to give it away, or we will drown in his love. We will drown in his mercy. So here's the question today. Do you love the brothers and sisters? If you don't, then maybe it's because you don't know the love of Christ yourself. That's how we know love. Is because Jesus tells us about it. He teaches us about it. And until you know that, you can't love each other until you know how much Jesus loves you. Let's pray together. In this moment, wherever we are, however we are before you, overwhelm our lives now with the love that you are, that we may be free to love those around us without hesitation or reservation. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So how about it? Do you love the brothers and sisters of the congregation? Do you love the family of Christ? According to John, that's one of the ways that we know that we're a follower of his. So maybe you need to know that family better. Maybe you need to find that family. We'd love to help you become part of Brentwood Baptist Church. Would you text CONNECT to 623-623? Maybe you're sitting there and you realize, maybe for the first time in your life, that you really do not know the love of Christ. Right now, will you text CONNECT to 623-623? We'll be in touch with you as soon as we possibly can. How do you love each other? Well, according to John, you just about have to, because the love of God is drowning us. We have to give it away or we'll go under. I hope this week is filled with love that's running out of you, over you, and through you as you deal with your friends, your family, and your coworkers and your neighbors. Thanks for being with us. I'll see you next week.